G'day, welcome to the Fasting Highway podcast. I'm Graham Curry, your host from Perth, Australia. I lost 60 kilos or 132 pounds living an intermittent fasting lifestyle, and I successfully maintained that weight loss now coming up 2 years. I wanted to bring this series of podcasts to you to give you an insight into what it's like to living an intermittent fasting lifestyle. I'm also the author of the book, The Fasting Highway, which is a story of my journey overcoming chronic addiction to fast food and sugar and taking that walk from morbid obesity to normality. So sit back here with us on the Fasting Highway in the next few weeks and listen to some inspiring guests and some experts in the intermittent fasting community. And thank you for joining us. Enjoy the show. G'day, welcome to the Fasting Highway podcast, and this is episode 91. And just before we get to today's exciting guest, I just wanted to give a big thank you to those people that have been buying my book, The Fasting Highway, on Amazon in both paperback and Kindle. If you do want to look at my own story and get some inspiration to start yours and take a bit of a deep dive into what it's actually like to live a reasonably long-term intermittent fasting lifestyle journey and maintain the weight loss, you'll be able to find that in my book, The Fasting Highway. Also, thank you to those that have been joining the Fasting Highway Facebook group. We're growing rapidly. Some very inspirational people from all over the world. So come and join us there on the Fasting Highway Facebook group. Okay, today's guest, we're going to be talking to the very inspiring Megan Kreisenbeck. And Megan is from Meridian, Idaho in the United States. And she's a 38-year-old mother of two girls. And she's wife to an amazingly supportive man. And Megan has been intermittent fasting since January 2020, and she's only had one hiccup along the way, which she talks about in this podcast, and she's lost an incredible 60 pounds. Megan works in the state police at Idaho there, and she works in a civilian position as a project coordinator in the commercial vehicle safety unit. And when she's not at work, she's heavily involved in a local vintage Volkswagen car club. So here to tell us all about her amazing intermittent fasting journey so far is the very inspiring Megan Kreisenbeck. Oh, g'day, Megan, and welcome to the Fasting Highway, and thank you for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me, Graham. I'm so happy to be here.
Oh, absolutely thrilled to have you here. So, Megan, for those out there that may not know your story or you, if you wouldn't mind sharing some of your backstory and sort of what led you to the path of finding intermittent fasting in the first place.
Absolutely. So I never really grew up with a weight problem. I didn't actually start gaining weight until after I had children. And I'm not even going to blame it on pregnancies because it was definitely not the pregnancies that caused my weight gain. I was able to lose my baby weight after both of my kids, but I think it was the life that happened really after motherhood started that caused my weight gain. It's kind of a whole slowdown in life. So I kind of slowly gained weight over the last, I have a 13-year-old and a 10-year-old, so over the last really 10 years. And I had gone from an average-sized female to definitely an obese female. I was uncomfortable in my own skin, but I had kind of come to terms with it too at the same time. I was like, well, this is just motherhood. This is what happens in motherhood. And so every year at work, we have what we call the Colonel's Challenge. I work for the state police here in Idaho, and he puts on, what's called the Colonel's Challenge, and it's like a fitness challenge. And there's four goals that are set out for us. And, I was at a point where I had bought a Peloton recently, and I wanted to use the Colonel's Challenge to start using my Peloton more. And also I always did the weight loss portion of it too. So there's like a cardio, sit-ups, weightlifting, and weight loss. And I didn't ever do the weightlifting or the sit-ups and push-ups challenge because I just physically couldn't do it. And I never participated in the weightlifting challenge either because that was more exercise than I was willing to do as well. But I wanted to try to hit the cardio challenge and the weight loss challenge. And I was talking to one of my coworkers quite a bit before the challenge was going to start. And I'd asked her what she was going to do for her weight loss portion of the challenge. And she said, oh, I've always done intermittent fasting anytime I've wanted to lose weight. And she wasn't a consistent intermittent faster. She kind of just jumped on it and used it like a fad diet to lose a few pounds here and there. And then she would just go back to eating regularly again and then gain it all back. But she kind of piqued my interest with intermittent fasting. And she told me, I just skip breakfast and I eat lunch and dinner. And I was like, oh, well, I could maybe do that. I sounds like I'd get really hungry though. Don't you get really hungry? And she's like, I really don't. Just skip breakfast. Just try it. And I was like, well, we'll see. Well, at the about that same time that I had been talking to her, I had talked to my doctor about weight loss as well, because I was becoming increasingly more worried as I was getting ready to enter my 40s. I'm 38 right now. I was concerned about becoming diabetic. My father and most of his siblings were diagnosed with type 2 diabetes right around the age of 40. And so it was a real concern of mine. And I knew I was on that same path and I was quite overweight and I needed to get that weight down so that I wouldn't run that same risk as my father. And so I asked my doctor if I could maybe be referred to a nutritionist, to speak to a nutritionist. And wouldn't you know, my nutritionist suggested intermittent fasting as part of a protocol to lose weight. So that's really what brought me to intermittent fasting, was a coworker, and then it got really solidified with the nutritionist.
Wow, that's fantastic. Do you remember, Megan, sort of talk through your stats a bit, when you started, and sort of, if you don't mind sharing, what your weight was then and sort of how long you've been doing intermittent fasting and where you're up to with your weight now?
Yeah, I kind of started in a weird way, I guess. I started in January of 2020. And with the way 2020 worked out, I did really well until about the end of March. And then the end of March, COVID happened and the whole world was chaotic and I did not do very good at sticking to it. I kind of started going back into those old patterns of emotional eating and all of that. And then at the end of April, we lost my mother-in-law to metastatic breast cancer. And that was another setback. And so I lost about 18 pounds actually from January to the end of March. And then I gained about 10 of it back from March until June, when I was like, oh my gosh, I got to get a handle on this. And then I decided that I was going to go do keto for a while. And I abandoned the intermittent fasting completely and did keto. And about the end of August, I realized that keto was just not really working for me. I'd lost the 10 pounds back again. So I was back down to that negative 18, but I just really didn't feel my best on keto, and I knew it wasn't going to sustain me long term. And I was like, well, you know what? I was doing intermittent fasting at the beginning of the year, and it was working wonderfully. Why did I stop doing that? And so I decided to go back and start a 16-8 again, and then I slowly worked into a 24 from that 16-8. But I started at about 220 pounds. I'm 5'4". So that's quite big for a 5'4" frame. And then I am currently 160 pounds. So I have, it's hard to say how long I've been doing it because I had weird gaps in there. But I have been clean fasting since September, like 3rd of 2020. And that's when I really noticed most of my actual like changes in my body was when I started clean fasting.
Yep. So you mentioned there you started in January 2020, and you didn't really start the clean fasting till later in the year after you came back from it, after doing the keto and so forth. So why did you sort of start clean fasting and how did you find out about that?
So I was doing all of the wrong things at first. I was drinking all sorts of flavored teas, and I was drinking like the LaCroix with the flavoring in them that are delicious. And then I was having a really when I had gotten back into fasting, which was late August, I was having just a really rough day, and I was trying to make it to those 20-hour marks, and it was hard. And I was like, I need some motivation to get through these days. And so I listen to podcasts. I do a lot of building spreadsheets, and I have a lot of computer time that I, when I'm listening to, and I listen to podcasts while I'm on the computer at work. And so I had an earbud in, and I was looking for a podcast on intermittent fasting, and Jen Stevens did it right when she named her podcast, because you type in intermittent fasting and she has two come up, and they're the first two podcasts. And it was her intermittent fasting podcast and then the intermittent fasting stories. And when I saw the stories, I was like, oh, success stories. That's what I'm going to listen to. I'm going to listen to people that have done this and have found success with it. And so I think I was her first podcast. I always sort by date and start at the first one and listen to them that way. And it was her first podcast. And I think it was Kim was her first guest. And they talked about the clean fast a lot through her podcast. And then they talked about her book, Delay, Don't Deny, because I didn't even know Fast, Feast, Repeat had been out yet. It was, but Delay, Don't Deny was all they were talking about at the early podcast, because that was the only book she had out in those early podcasts. So I purchased Delay, Don't Deny, and I read it in a day and learned how to clean fast, and my life was forever easier after that. I could not believe the difference that clean fast made.
Yeah, that's interesting. So let's run through that for a second, because it's really important to let newcomers know. Like, you started off with that dirty fasting, and then you switched to that clean fasting in August of 2020 there. Just run through some of the differences that you found by doing a pure clean fast. And what we're talking about here is just black tea, black coffee, plain water, plain sparkling water, or plain green tea, right?
Yep. That's all. I am pretty much strictly just a black coffee and water girl. And I like my water either sparkling or still. I like the sparkling water to kind of just change up my mouth feel. But the difference was amazing. I could tell those other, and I was chewing gum and mints. I was doing all of the wrong things, but I could tell that as soon as I stopped chewing that gum or drinking those flavored beverages, like, I wasn't hangry anymore. Like, I went from like white knuckling it through my day and just like almost shaky, angry, hungry to just just breezing through it. I'd get a rumbly tummy. Like, I feel like I still get a rumbly tummy every once in a while. Like, my stomach will just growl every once in a while, just saying, hey, I'm down here. And I'm like, you can just wait. But, hunger wasn't an emergency anymore. It just stopped being something that I felt like I needed to quell. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. And I think it's important to recognize hunger signals, isn't it? And now your experience, you probably know that there's two types of hunger. You get that hunger where you think, oh man, I'm really hungry. I could eat a horse and chase the jockey, you know, and you walk past a cafe or a burger joint or something, that smell wafts past you and you go, wow, you know, I feel hungry, but you're actually not. You have a big glass of water or you get distracted and that feeling goes away. And then there's that hunger sometimes where you just don't feel right, or you feel like, you know, hey, man, I just really got to eat here, you know, and that's two types of hunger. Have you found that, Megan, on your journey?
Absolutely. Yeah. There's the I could eat right now because that sounds really good. And then there's it's almost like a back of the throat hunger. Like, you feel it on the backside of your head. I don't even know how else to describe it than that, but it is, I can tell when I'm hungry. And at this point, when I feel that way, I mean, because it's so obvious, I feed myself, even if it's not what I've decided my window was going to be that day. I know when I need that nourishment now, and I go ahead and feed myself in a longer window sometimes, because sometimes I think I worked harder and I just need that longer window that day.
Yeah, I think it's important to recognize it's got to be flexible and you need to listen to your body for sure. So let's talk about that eating window, Megan. When you first started, Were you a person that was eating all the things, or was there anything you were restricting from your previous sort of eating styles?
I ate all of the things at first. All of them. I went through phases too. I went through phases of like bread baking where I would bake all day long. And I think that part of that was a coping mechanism, because if I spent a lot of time making dinner, then it took a lot of my time. And then it felt like this grandiose thing that like I could sit down and enjoy this meal that took me hours to prepare. So when I first started, I was in the kitchen all the time cooking, and I would bake cookies, I would bake pies, I would bake everything. And it scaled back some. But it's funny how you do go from eating all of the things and being like, oh, I'm going to treat myself in this window and I'm going to eat this junk food that I've been craving all day long, to now I'm like, man, I never liked beets before. And like, beets are delicious. When did they become so sweet and yummy? And yeah, just everything. You crave these clean, healthy meals now instead of a bag of Doritos, you know?
Yeah, I do. And it's I think that's one of the processes of intermittent fasting, that the longer you go, the more of a food snob you become, because you realize that, hey, if I'm only going to be eating once a day, if that's your style, then I want that window to be as worthy as possible. You know, I just don't want to eat something that's not making me feel good. And I always say, I don't eat whatever I want. I eat what makes me feel my greatest. And I feel as though I can power into the next day and I feel good about it. So let's move now to what we talk about, the non-scale victories, Megan, and the health benefits of intermittent fasting. And I know there are many for a lot of people. What were some of those for you that you were finding along your journey?
So non-scale victories are my favorite. I have a list of 207 of them right now. You know, but some of them are really small and may seem insignificant to others, but it is something I've done along the way to motivate myself to keep going. I feel like the intermittent fasting can become a frustrating process if you let it, but if you sit and focus on all of the great little things that happen along the way, it's a lot less frustrating. That weight loss is, it ebbs and flows, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, sometimes it's like you're losing weight really fast, and then you hit just this flat line, and then you lose weight really fast, and then you hit a flat line again. And it's something I've done along the way to not discourage myself from this scale, maybe not moving for a week. But I will read off some to you, because I actually printed some off so I wouldn't forget them. And I have them numbered as well. So number 3 is, I did not kill my husband when he made bacon for breakfast this morning. Number 7 is, my mom started intermittent fasting. 12 is, my fasts are a full 20 hours consistently now. 42, my hips don't hurt when I wake up anymore. 43, I put my underwear on this morning without support from the wall. 67, I walked clear out of my shoes at work today, twice. 68, the kids told me I'm noticeably happier when I come home from work now. 101, nothing in my closet fits my body well anymore. 115, socks don't leave a weird imprint on my on my legs anymore. 124, a lady at work asked me for help in her weight loss journey. 130, I can reach my whole back when washing it in the shower. 149, my necklace is longer on my neck. 155, I did not overeat on Thanksgiving. 170, Piper, my youngest daughter, hugged me today. She did not want to let go right away. She said she loved hugging me so much more now that I'm so small. 175, Matt, my husband, mistaken me for Paige, my 13-year-old. 178, I don't have a weight loss resolution this year for New Year's Day. 182, my accidental selfie chin is shrinking. 202, went to the doctor today. She said I was inspirational. 204, I'm not so miserable in this hot summer heat. 206, I can pick anything out of my closet and put it on, and it feels and looks great. 207. Apparently, I am now a fast approved snack.
Oh, I think they're fantastic. So great. I mean, how amazing is that? 207. And I mean, you're probably going to add another 100 or so or more. It's just, yeah. I know they come every day. And I know what you mean. It's those little things that catch you. Just like I remember I used to bend down and tie my shoelaces up, right? I used to think, wow, I could tie my shoelaces up. Something that people took for granted every single day. Or like you're standing in the shower and say, hey, I could see my feet for a change.
Right.
All those sorts of things. And I like the one about the towel, you know, getting around your back. And I remember my daughter hugging me one day and she said, Dad, my arms actually touch now when I put my arms around you. And I remember how emotional that was for me. I just thought that's just unbelievable. And what you talked about there, your mum starting intermittent fasting, your doctor telling you you're inspirational, you know, all those things just add up to make this lifestyle so great, don't they?
They really do. I mean, it's just the bread and butter of it. It really is. It's what makes it worth doing forever. I'm a lifer.
Yeah, for sure. And so when your doctor said you were inspirational, was that the results of your blood results and just general weight loss and health and that sort of thing?
Yeah, I went in for just a yearly checkup and she said my blood work is amazing. Although I've never really struggled with numbers in my blood work, it's never come back scary, but she said everything looked so great. And she said, your picture in your file, Megan, doesn't even look like you anymore. She said, we're going to end up having to retake that photo. She says, you're truly inspirational. And then she asked me what I was doing. And I told her, I said, I've been doing intermittent fasting. And she asked what book I'd read. And I said, well, I think if you want to read one, the one you should read would be Feast Repeat, because you're a doctor and it's more sciencey than her other one. And I said, or you could read The Obesity Code by Dr. Fung. I said, I don't have the aptitude to do so, but she would probably get way more out of it than I would too. But yeah, it was truly a fantastic moment to have. We went from 2 years ago talking about weight loss and whether or not I wanted to go on prescription medications for weight loss to her telling me a year later that I was an inspiration. So it was wonderful.
Oh, that's fantastic. So speaking of weight loss and weighing and everything else, is weighing something you do daily, or how do you handle a weighing, or you don't weigh at all?
So I used to weigh daily. I weighed daily for probably 9 months solid. And then I'd average out my weekly average. And it really was a good representation of my weight loss. It helped keep me on track. And it really actually was a great tool at learning what foods cause such inflammation in my body. So I was able to I ended up eliminating dairy completely out of my diet because I did find that I was struggling with processing dairy through this process. It was kind of an interesting diagnostic tool. But probably about 3 months ago, I didn't break up with my scale. I still step on it when it's convenient for me. I was getting to the point where I felt like I was, that my scale was controlling my life. Like I couldn't do this or this or this before I, you know, stripped down into my skivvies and got on the scale and weighed myself. And I just decided my weekends were overly complicated with the whole weighing myself. And that was too regimented for me. So I do weigh myself fairly often still, but only when it's convenient for me. And I just step on with all of my clothes on sometimes, which isn't something I ever did before. Yeah.
I don't think that's a bad thing, because that's what you're carrying around anyway, isn't it? You know, clothes, shoes, everything else. That's what you're wearing on your body. But, you know, personally, I weigh when I first get up in the morning, and I don't weigh in any clothes, but that's just what I do. And for me, it's just part of my day. I don't really get controlled by it. I just look at the number and I think, okay, some days it goes up, right, I've got to rein in the window a bit. Some days it goes down to a bit lower than I'd like. And I think, okay, I've got to broaden things out a bit. And it's just having those tools of doing it. But you mentioned here when you started, you were 220 pounds for Australian listeners. That's 100 kilos. So where are you at now, Megan, with your weight?
I'm at 160 pounds. I really am. I'm very impatiently waiting for those 150s. It's going to happen. Maybe not. I don't know. At this point, I've started weight training, so maybe I'll just stay in the 160s. I don't know if I actually care. I feel like the number is just a number now. I never really set myself a weight loss goal, but I really wanted to get to that, you know, that BMI chart. It's a terrible chart. It's an upsetting chart for some, that's for sure. But I really wanted to get down to that normal range on a BMI chart, and I'd have to get down to 145 pounds to be there. And I'm currently at like a size 4'6" US. So I don't know. I don't even know what size that would be US for if I got down 15 pounds lighter than I am now. I feel like I'm pretty, I feel like I'm in my ideal body almost. So I don't know. I'm fine at 160. You like how I rationalize all that?
And I think sometimes we can push the envelope too far, can't we? Like we get down. I know I was getting down to my weight and I set my goal at a certain level and I got there and then I thought, well, you know, I can do more than that. And I got down more and then I got down more again. And then I realized that my body started fighting me and it started saying, well, hey, you know, you don't really need to lose any more weight. You're okay here. And then I sort of thought, well, okay, well, I'll just go into what I call a goal range rather than a goal weight number. So I have a goal range of about, you know, vary between 3 and 5 pounds. So if I stay in that, I'm happy. And if I go above it, then I do something about it. And if I go below it, I do something about it. And I just found maintaining now for over 2 years, that's really worked for me. So is maintenance something you're sort of thinking about, looking ahead? You mentioned there you're an IFer for life now. Have you got a plan with that? Because it is a totally different mindset.
Yeah, my maintenance plan is to kind of just keep on going. I've dabbled in like ADF and I usually eat two meals when I do alternate day fasting. And I don't really love eating two meals in a day. It's not my favorite thing to do. I feel sluggish when I eat two meals. So I think I'm always going to be a 24 faster. I mean, right now, sometimes I'm a 23.1 and sometimes I'm a 22.2. And then some days I usually never eat in more than a 5 hour eating window though. Like if I have to eat two meals a day, sometimes it might be a 6 hour eating window, but it's typically not. And those two meals a day are usually, they're rare. They're few and far between, but.
Okay. So you mentioned there ADF, there's extended fasting, that sort of thing. So you just sort of dabble with that, then you realize, hey, maybe this is not my jam. I like to eat once a day, and you move back to that now. And yeah, you have that flexibility of Sundays 22.2 or 23.1 or 24, whatever it may be. So with that OMAD lifestyle, as we call it, the one meal a day, are you more of the restaurant type meal where you'll have a snack to open and then you'll move to a main and maybe a dessert if you feel like it?
So yeah, some days it is. When I'm doing a little longer eating window, I will eat like that. Otherwise, it's usually just dinner. I'll just sit down with the family and eat dinner. We're not big dessert people. It's very rare that we do actually eat dessert anymore. I mean, ever. We eat dessert on holidays and maybe occasionally. Huckleberries are in season here right now, so we went and bought a huckleberry pie the other day, and it was amazing. But I typically just sit down and eat one large meal with the family, and that's it. Unless I have a longer eating window for whatever reason, if I needed to open up my window with a snack, maybe when I was still at work, and then I'll come home and make dinner and eat a meal. But it's typically kind of a one and done.
Yeah, hang on, I just lost you for a minute.
Oh, no.
No, it's okay. We'll just pick that up from there.
Okay.
We'll just edit that bit out. That's fine. Well, that's fantastic. And I'm really glad, Megan, that you didn't kill your husband, by the way, when he made the bacon in the morning. So speaking of your husband and family and that sort of thing, what's that support been like for you?
It's been great. My family has been super supportive through this whole thing. through my whole journey. I shouldn't say thing. That's crazy. So my family's been super supportive through my whole journey. My mom actually, shortly after I started, probably about 2 weeks after I started fasting, she asked me about it, and she was dirty fasting at first because she just couldn't see not putting cream in her coffee. And I was like, Mom, you just got to take the cream out of your coffee. Just drink it black. And because she's like, I can't even make it till 10. I just run into the kitchen like, how did she say it? I ran into the kitchen like I was so hungry I could eat the horse and chase the jockey too. and I scarfed down a whole bowl of cereal as fast as I could. And I said, oh, Mom, just try it without the coffee and or without the cream in your coffee and see what you can do. And then it was like 2 days later, we were going shopping. It was my youngest daughter's birthday and we went shopping. And she said, Mig, I had just black coffee this morning and I'm not even hungry yet. She's like, this has made all of the difference in the world. And so then she started clean fasting and she went straight into 20 hour fast right away. And my mom didn't really need to lose any weight. I'm actually in her pants now. Like she hand-me-downed all of her pants to me. So I'm wearing her clothes that she shrunk out of, but, she's been a huge support through this whole thing. I don't know if I could have stuck with it as long as I did if I didn't have that person to talk to every day about the struggles that I was going through or troubleshooting. Like maybe like when I'd be really hungry one day, she'd be like, well, what'd you eat last night? What'd you have for dinner? Did you have enough vegetables with your dinner? So it's been, I mean, that's been a huge support. And then my husband and kids have they never scoffed at it. They were just completely supportive from the very beginning. And most of my friends have been really supportive too. I have had a few that I think still think that I'm destroying my body because they're not educated on what fasting really is.
Yeah, and I always say to people say to me, oh, that's not very healthy. And I say to them, well, neither has been 360 pounds that I was either. That's not healthy, you know. And funny enough, you never used to mention anything when I was that weight. Now I'm not, and I'm a normal healthy weight. You've got plenty to say about it. But I find over time, people that were negative or things like that, they tend to drop off. And in fact, most of the people that were negative to me are actually doing intermittent fasting now themselves. Because they see that results and they see that it's sustainable and they see that you actually keep the weight off. And I know a lot of people will sit in judgment on people that lose a lot of weight because they're just sitting and waiting because they're thinking they're going to regain it. They're going to put it back on. And then with intermittent fasting, a lot of people don't regain it. They actually is sustainable. And that's the one thing I really love about it, that this lifestyle is sustainable. And I've been able to maintain my weight within a range over 2 years now. And just by simply using the tools of intermittent fasting. So I don't think you have to have any worries about maintenance. But what I really love about this podcast so far is that you've talked about the struggles. And a lot of people think that intermittent fasting is plain sailing. It's easy. It's a really easy thing to do. It's not hard. But that's far from the truth for a lot of people. And some people do struggle with it. Did you find it frustrating at times?
Oh, I found it completely frustrating at times. It was, and I think it's because so many like crash diets you go on. I've been on, high fat, low carb and keto. And I did the South Beach diet when I was younger and the abs diet and then just calorie restriction. You just lose so much weight right at first. And I never lost really more than 3 pounds a month with fasting. But it was crazy how at the points I was most frustrated, I could go back and measure myself and see just inches gone off of me. And it was almost like every time I was in a weight stall, I would lose inches. Like my body recomposition would happen every time I was in a weight stall. And it took me a long time to actually realize that's what my body was doing. It was like, I would drop weight and then like the inflammation would go away. And then I'd drop weight and some inflammation would go away. And pretty soon it's like one day I woke up and my whole body just felt smaller. And it was almost right around that same time that people actually started noticing too. I swear to you, it was overnight that all of the sudden I was just it's like smaller everywhere, which isn't something I was ever used to either. I mean, I never stuck with any other diet for very long, and I'm definitely smaller now than I ever was on any other diet I've tried in my adult life. But, and it is a total sustainable lifestyle. Everything else claims to be a lifestyle at some point, but let's face it, like the food prep and all of that becomes too much. Like intermittent fasting, there's no food prep. There can be food prep if you want to like organize your week, but there it's one meal a day. It's so simple. I refer to it as the lazy man's diet because it is just, it's the simplicity of it all makes it a sustainable lifestyle. It's amazing.
Yeah. I think for me, it's been an art form, the one meal a day. It's like I don't think about it till fairly late in the day. And then when I do, I like to take my time and get it all ready and look at it and, you know, put it on a plate nicely and make that preparation, because that's what I have, a nicely prepared plate to look at, and mindful eating, sit down, deliberate, slowly. And did you find that intermittent fasting sort of cured any appetite correction you had?
Oh, definitely. It absolutely did. I went from, I don't think I had any form of appetite before. I just ate to eat. I ate all day. I have a desk job and I would sit with snacks or sunflower seeds or anything. And I was constantly putting food into my mouth. And to go from that to this, I'm almost like a toddler now when I'm full. You can't even force feed me. I turn my cheek. I can't even do it, even if it's something super delicious. And my husband has tried to give me something. Oh, you should try this. It's delicious. And he hands it to me. And I'm like, ugh, no, I can't. I'm done. I'm full. But I also never get that over full feeling anymore either. You know, the after Thanksgiving, just belly bursting, like just full feeling that you just feel like you need to unbutton your pants because you're so full. I don't have that anymore. Like I never get to that over full feeling. Like I'm just satisfied, like completely satisfied. It's amazing.
Yeah, I think we get to that point, don't we, where we get that satiety signal. It's almost, you know, deafening, that sound, or almost in ourselves. We feel like, hey, I'm full now, I'm all good. And then you don't have to eat anymore. And I always say to people, you know, if they have a 2-hour, 4-hour, 6-hour window, whatever it may be, eat to the point where you're satisfied, not stuffed, and like you mentioned, not feeling like you've got to go and lie on the couch and undo your pants. But just that feeling where you're nicely sort of satisfied and you're great and you can close your window and move to the next day. But I think a lot of people make that mistake of they think I've got a 2-hour window. Hey, I've got another half hour left. I'm going to keep going because I've got another half hour. They're not actually eating to that sort of point where they just feel full. Do you think that's for you as well?
Yeah, absolutely. When I first started, I think I ate for my full window. I called it the binging phase. And I think that is a true, and I people that have come to me about fasting and have asked and have started fasting themselves are like, I just open my window and I eat and eat and eat and eat until I'm just miserable. And I tell them that passes. Like it's kind of part of the process. I really do feel like it is. Like you almost have to go through that binging phase to come out on the other side and be like, oh, this is how it is supposed to be. And it kind of all evens itself out eventually. I also remember when I first started going through that binging phase and being like, this is ridiculous. And I had been reading, I think it was one of Jen's books, or maybe it was one of her podcasts. She talked about the audible sigh and to listen for it when you're eating. And so I did when I was sitting down and eating. And that night I took a big breath in as I was eating my last bite of food. And I thought, oh, there it is. It's true. It really happens. And listening for that a few times really helps you figure out when you're actually full, because I think we completely break ourselves. Our parents teach us to eat till our plate's clean, and we break that signal at such a young age, and then trying to find it again was rough. But yeah, I I definitely put the fork down before my plate's clean now. I have learned that whether it goes in the garbage or goes in my belly, if I'm full and I'm done, then it's garbage either way. It might as well just go in the landfill.
Yeah. So you mentioned there earlier on about the Peloton with the exercise. What does exercise look like for you now, Megan?
So when I first started intermittent fasting, the second time when I started clean fasting, I decided I needed to prove to myself I could do it without exercise. And at that time I was in the high 190s and exercise was really hard for me. It just took so much energy. And so every diet I had ever been on before then, my undoing was always some sort of injury that prevented me from exercising. And then my diet would fall apart and then I would be back to square one plus 10 pounds, you know? So I wanted to prove to myself this time that I could do this without exercise, that I could lose weight and I could sustain it without any extra physical activity than my normal day gave me. In case of an injury or something like that. So it wouldn't become my undoing. So it wouldn't be an excuse to not stick with my fasting. And I did. I lost the majority of it. I would say I probably lost 45 pounds before I actually started exercising regularly. And then we have a gym at my work. And so I started using my lunch hour that I no longer needed to eat lunch. I started using that at our gym at work. And I kind of rotate things between, weight training and cardio. I use a rowing machine a lot. But I do spend most of my lunch hours now exercising at work, which has been awesome. So I get about an hour of exercise in every day. And then sometimes more if I want to get on the Peloton in the evenings.
I think that's fantastic. And I know when I was heavy, it was really difficult for me to exercise. Like I just didn't have that, inclination. I didn't feel like it because I was carrying so much weight. And I think for a lot of people that are heavy, they think the mountain's too high to climb. And to go out in the street and run around and do a 5-kilometer walk is hard for people that are carrying a lot of weight. And then when you get the weight off and then you start exercising and you realize that you can do it, and you realize how good it makes you feel, it almost becomes like another addiction, if you like. You just crave it, and every day you want to do it. And if you miss it, you think, oh, man, I really get down on yourself because you missed that day's exercise or whatever. And I know just how great I feel when I come back from a 5 or 6 kilometer walk. And just recently I did a 65-kilometer hike, 42 miles, and over some really rugged terrain. And there's no way knowing when I was carrying the weight that I could do it. And now without the weight, it's become so free. It's just great. But you strike me, Megan, as a person that has fantastic mindset. Some of the things you've talked about, I can tell that you've really thought about it. You've gone through a process. So what part has mindset played for you in your journey?
Oh, huge. I mean, it's been... I mean, just to keep positive about everything, like it's just, it's changed everything about my life. I mean, I went from a basic couch potato to, I can't wait to get out and move my body and be active and be part of my community and keep up with my kids. And it's just been wonderful. It's been completely life-changing. Completely life-changing.
Yeah, and I mean, you mentioned there you started in January 2020, then you came to hit the wall a bit in March 2020 when the pandemic started, was raging around the world. And you obviously were really concerned about your family, that sort of thing, and what was going to happen. And we had all these lockdowns. And you've lost a lot of weight while you've been in lockdown and that sort of thing. And have you found that when you haven't seen people for a while, your instant reaction is like, wow, what's happened to you?
Yeah, that happened at work a lot when everybody came back. I actually worked through the pandemic. I kept going into the office, but most of the building actually was vacated at that time. There was very few people working in the building at the time. And as they slowly started coming back, it was a lot of, oh my gosh, I didn't even recognize you. And I mean, I changed my hair color partway through too, so I was a completely different person. I darkened my hair back to its natural color at one point because it was much lighter when the pandemic hit, and then everyone came back and I was a brunette again, and and yeah, 50 pounds lighter. It was interesting. A lot of head turning in the hallways.
Yeah, everyone's kind of, who's that you girl that just started?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's great. So with that sort of weight loss that you've had, and I know it was not an issue for me, but something that struck me was an identity sort of crisis, if you like, because I'd see my reflection and I'd think to myself, well, that's not me. Who's that? And, you know, it takes a bit of while to get used to, doesn't it, that you shape and the you look that you have once you lose a lot of weight.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I went to the mall with my kids the other day and I kept walking past the full length mirrors in the department store. And I was like, oh, my gosh, who is that person? I ended up taking an actual selfie of it because it was just almost astonishing. Like, my legs don't look like my legs. And the other day I was lotioning my arms and I'm like, my arms don't even look like my arms anymore. Like, how can you not recognize your own body parts? It's strange. It's like the slowest weight loss, but it happens all at once at the same time. It's difficult to explain.
Yeah, it is. I always say to people, it's a bit like being beamed up by the Starship Enterprise. And you come back down and without all the weight, and all of a sudden you walk out in the street and it's a whole new world, you know, like people don't look at you anymore. People don't stare at you. People don't make comments about your weight and all that sort of thing. And I think you just, like you mentioned before, being a part of the community and being able to do all the things that you've always wanted to do. And are there things now that you, now you've got the weight off and you're going to sort of think to yourself, I can do that, I can do this. You know, traveling for me was just another world. Like when I got onto a plane and I wasn't carrying all the weight and I could do up my seatbelt and there was plenty hanging out and I had lots of room, it just felt so free, Megan. Do you find things like that just happen for you all the time?
Yeah, I tend to commit to things that I wouldn't have normally done before, like helping friends move across town and like lifting physical activity all day long. Or I recently had my 20-year class reunion for school, and I kind of rekindled some friendships with that. And we were all sitting around eating brunch one day, and one of the gals was like, hey, do you two want to do a Spartan race with me next year? So I've committed to doing a Spartan race next summer. So we'll see how that goes. But I think I can do it. Like, I'm going to train for it, and I think I'm going to be able to accomplish it. I'm only going to do a 5K. I'm not going to go do a whole half marathon, but a 5K, but there's like 20 obstacles and it's going to be a trip. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I think you'll do it easy. So when you went to that 20-year reunion, how good was the confidence when you went back there, just knowing that you look great and, you know, you walked in there and you must have felt so good?
It was amazing. And it's funny because I didn't intend to lose weight for the reunion because I kind of started my weight loss journey, you know, a whole year in advance. It wasn't like a crash diet before the reunion. Actually, the reunion wasn't even on my mind when I started intermittent fasting. That wasn't even the reason I went at it. But man, what a perk. What a perk to be able to go back to your class reunion wearing clothes that were about the same size as the ones you wore going to high school there. It was a pretty cool experience.
Oh, that's great. So we're going to wrap up soon, Megan, but what I'd really like to get from you, because you have such a great mindset, just some advice for people out there starting out and may think the mountain's too high to climb. What can you tell them? Just some words of wisdom and motivation.
Yeah, absolutely. Clean fast from the start. If you haven't started clean fasting, start today. I know, like, don't let a beverage be something that stands between you and lifetime success of weight loss. I just think that it's sad that so many people will allow just a beverage to stand in their way of success. Give yourself grace at first. It's not always easy. It can be so frustrating at times. Take pictures of yourself because they will be invaluable to you on days where you are frustrated. so you can take another picture of yourself and put them side by side and be like, oh my gosh, look how far I've come. I'm going to keep going. Take measurements as soon as, like, if you haven't taken measurements from the beginning, take them today. Every half of it, an inch or every centimeter, is just a celebration. It really is. And then when you're taking your photos, that's something I didn't do that I wished I would have done. I only took clothed photos of myself, and I really wish I would have just taken some pictures of myself, like in my underwear, that just were for me, so I could really see what my progress was underneath of the clothes. But I had so much shame with my body beforehand that was something I couldn't even fathom doing. But for you, put it in a secure folder where nobody else will ever see it, and take those pictures so that you can have that for yourself, because I think that's a gift I really wish I could go back and give myself that I can't. But yes, always give yourself grace and always clean fast.
Oh, that's fantastic advice, I think. And final question, Megan, what's your dream for intermittent fasting? Where would you love to see it go? Would you love to see it be more mainstream? And what would you really like to see happen with it?
Oh, yes. I wish I could just shout from the mountaintops that everybody should be doing this. I don't care if you even need weight loss. Like, the amount of energy and clarity and like the health benefits behind it are so amazing. I just feel like everyone in this world could benefit from it. I do wish it could go mainstream. I don't know how to make it go mainstream other than these podcasts. I think they're awesome. What you're doing is just fantastic, letting the world know that this is out here and it's something that is sustainable and doable for everybody. I feel like you're taking those baby steps that need to be taken to make this world a better place, Graham, and bless you for it. Cause yeah, it's not as a very rewarding job sometimes, I'm sure.
Oh, look, it is very rewarding, and I get to speak to inspiring people like yourself every week. And what I find is that common theme of joy of life that people find again through intermittent fasting. And there's nothing worse, and we all know it, like when you're carrying 40, 60, 100 pounds, 200 pounds of excess weight, it's not joyful. And I know some people say that they're happy in their own skin and all that, and that's fine. But for the majority of us, it's a life of pain. It's a life of misery. It's a life of missing out on stuff. And then once we have all that weight off and we have the freedom and we have a lifestyle and be able to sustain it, it's so great. But Megan, I can't tell you what a joy it's been to have you with me today. Thank you for joining me here on the Fasting Highway.
Thanks for having me, Graham.
Oh, much appreciated. Bye.
Bye.
Oh, thank you so much, Megan. I think that was a fantastic insight into what it's like to live an intermittent fasting journey. And I think you really gave some fantastic advice through that podcast, and I'm sure it's going to go on to inspire a lot of people. So thank you for sharing your journey today with us here on the Fasting Highway. Also, folks, just another reminder about the Fasting Highway Facebook group. You can come and join us there if you want to learn something about intermittent fasting or get some sort of advice or talk to people about intermittent fasting that have been doing it for a while now. And you can see some very inspirational photos and all sorts of things there in the Fasting Highway Facebook group. Also, once again, if you are interested in my own story and my journey, you can get my book on Amazon, The Fasting Highway, in both paperback and Kindle. Thanks very much to everybody that does do that. It really helps keep this podcast commercial free, so thank you. Anyway, until next week, be well, be safe, and remember, clean fasting is everlasting.